Good morning. Let's stand and sing about when we're going to get to heaven together. Welcome to First Baptist Church, Springdale.
Hello, church family. It's my pleasure today to present to you my son and my brother, Adler Good. Adler, do you know for certain that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? In obedience to his divine command, upon your public profession of faith, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life.
Bruns. And Aaron, I'm asking you this morning, are you 100% certain that you have Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then because of your public profession of faith in him and in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in a brand new way of life.
You may be seated. Next week, you do not want to miss in this room next week, nor do you want to miss Sunday night at Pinnacle Hills. I'm telling you now, folks, I realize some of us think we're too cool to go and be a little picnic, but we don't need to be too cool for that. It is powerful. Last year we had about 4,500, just under 5,000, I believe we had. We baptized, I think, 117 people. I baptized them all myself. And that's why I've been working out every day, see? It's the importance of your body. And I hope that this next Sunday afternoon, I'm going to be able to do that, plus more. And so if you've been awaiting baptism and you want to be baptized, I will be baptizing next Sunday afternoon at Pinnacle Hills. And we'll be talking about that. You can sign up online or you can call the office this week at this campus. And we will make sure that happens, or just show up ready to be done. And we will do you as long as you know Christ, which is the essential element of that. Thank you for being here today. We welcome our Pinnacle Hills campus as well to this morning. It's such a joy to have you here. And it is a pleasure that you've joined us here at the First Baptist Church of Springdale and as well at the church at Pinnacle Hills. Hey, it's hot outside, isn't it? Now, we need to heat it up in here for the Lord. Amen? And so I hope that you'll be ready to worship with all of your heart today. It's summertime. You can tell. Lord Jesus, help us all. And so y'all be praying for this year. Be engaged when you're here. Make a difference when you're here. Support the ministry financially, whether you're here or you're not here. I mean, we've got to have you in prayer support and financial support. If you're a guest today, thanks for being here. In the chair back in front of you, whichever campus you're at, there will be communication cards. If you would you please take one of those? And would you communicate with us? In a moment, we're going to receive our offering, place it completed in the offering plate today, and then we will be able to know who you are, where you're from, a little bit about you and your past. Thank you so much. I want us to stand together today, and why don't you say good morning to three or four folks around you and welcome them here today. If you would, let's remain standing. Let's come before the Father for a moment. Father in heaven, we pray now that we're standing with our all. We will worship. I was reminded this morning that if we're ever bored in worship, it could be a sign that we're not going to heaven. Because that's what you created us to be, and that's to be worshipers of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And now, may we bring you glory with all of our being, our mind, our will, our emotion, our body, and the depths of our spirit. Would you raise us up now to worship you? In the name of Jesus, let's worship.
Let's just continue to worship. Speaking and singing our desperation for a touch from God.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your home. is my daily bread. This is my
and Lord of Lords. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee.
Lift your voices.
Holy, holy, holy.
Join with the angels. Our voices more. Verse again. Let's sing that last verse again, and this time I just want you to just blow the roof off. You're not singing to me. And this is the song of heaven. As Isaiah saw the angels, the cherubim, the seraphim sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And I read the same thing Pastor did this morning. If your face does not exclaim worship when we worship, then I challenge you. Are you going to be ready for heaven? Today, let's sing holy, 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 because he is holy. He is mighty. Sing this last verse with us one more time.
You know, that's the song of heaven. And you know, the scripture is real clear in the Revelation in 5 and 7, those chapters, that every nation and every language, every tribe and every people will be worshiping at the throne of God. And even though today 6,426 people groups in the world do not have any access to the gospel at all, somehow, some way, before that moment comes, there will be someone from every language and people at the throne of God. I got to tell you a story today. I want to take a little personal word here in relationship to the story. God obviously has really worked in my heart the last year. I've always been committed to the Great Commission. I've always been committed to taking the gospel to the nations. But the Lord has taken me to a whole different level in that, because I've understood lostness like never before. And I've understood as well that God wants us to take the gospel where the gospel has never been before. And as I have evaluated how we can best do that, God has taken that to a whole different level in an area that, quite honestly, our church has been committed to right at 20 years. But we're going to change directions for a season. How long? I don't know. But our board of directors made a decision with me on this past Wednesday night to do something. We have been on national and international television for right at 20 years. And when I started thinking about that, and we are on a religious channel called Daystar, which goes pretty well around the world, I had to ask myself, is there anybody else on that channel preaching the gospel? The answer to that is yes. Is there anything better that could be used for that money to take the gospel to the nations other than what I'm doing? And the answer to that was yes. Then am I willing to lay that aside for a while in order to let that happen? And if God wants to bring it back a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, it will be an extension of what we can do over the next 3 or 4 years in relationship to that. So here's what we're going to do. We will maintain a commitment to regional television. We will be on the ABC affiliate like we are all the time. Okay? And we will continue that. We will continue to be on Family 45, whatever the channel is. All right? But beginning when the contract runs out, which will be, I think, the last broadcast now, will be July the 18th around America and the world, our national broadcast and international broadcast will conclude. All right? Now, remember, the internet's taken over the world anyway. Bottom line is, anybody in the world that wants to see our broadcast, they can see it. If they can get TV, they can pretty well get the internet. Anybody that wants to zoom in and get that, they can zoom in and get it. All right? It's not impossible to do. It's only going to increase in that capacity. So what we're going to do with that money is to put it solidified to the reaching of the nations for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are going to support missionaries through our work as Southern Baptists like never before. Therefore, beginning in the October 1 budget, we will move that figure to $500,000, $500,000 straight to making the difference around the world. And I say that to you because that's been a process. It's been a process really for about 18 months, 2 years, as I've thought about. God's been getting me ready, and you know, I had to be willing to let go of a few things. That's okay, you know, because it's not about that. It's about one thing. It's getting the gospel to places where the gospel has never been before. I just have a firm conviction that if we can mobilize more missionaries, we're going to be able to do that a lot better through them, indigenous missionaries, a lot more than what I'm able to do on a national broadcast or international broadcast. So may God be praised and may Jesus be exalted and may God supply the needs of the church. And when He decides that He wants us to do it again, then we'll zoom in and we'll get her done. But please understand, we're very committed to regional television on a weekly basis, and know that that will not be sacrificed. All right? So I hope that that'll encourage you today, even as you give. You're in a church that's very committed to taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, I ask in the name of Jesus today that you would take that which has been shared today and use it to expand the gospel to places where the gospel has never been before. God, may our people come up under this ministry financially this summer. You know our need. Our need from Memorial Day to Labor Day Sunday is $4.2 million. And I pray that you'll meet that need according to your riches and glory in Jesus Christ our Lord. And that, Lord, you will so prove yourself in control of all events, regardless of what the economic situation may say, that, Lord, you'll bring glory to yourself through your people as we honor the Lord in giving. And Father, we join the governors of the state of Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama today who have called for a day of prayer for the Gulf situation in relationship to this terrible oil crisis. We have seen what man can do, insufficient and not enough. We don't understand what's going on, Lord. Maybe you're judging this nation. Maybe you're trying to get this nation's attention. Whatever it is, I pray that we will get it. And I pray, God, you would begin to step in and give wisdom where wisdom has not yet been understood and heard and practiced. And would you bring a conclusion to this terrible, terrible, terrible crisis in the Gulf? And would you come up under the people along that entire coastline and minister to their needs as they walk through a challenging, challenging time? And Lord, as we call upon the name of Jesus today, we pray that you will minister life to us, minister the Word of God to us, and may we shout the name of Christ to a world that doesn't know you. In whose name we pray today, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Whisper his name. Whisper his name. Whisper his name. And he will answer you. Whisper his name. Whisper his name. Whisper his name. And he will come to you. Call out his name. Call out his name,
Jesus.
Call out his name,
Jesus.
And he will come to you. Call out his name,
Jesus.
Call out his name,
Jesus.
Call out his name,
Jesus.
And he will come to you. Shout out his name. Shout out his name,
Jesus,
and he will run to you. my selfish pride. And when we fall down on our knees, for when we lift our hands and say, "You're all we need," just call out His name.
Jesus,
call out His name,
Jesus,
and He will come to you. Call out His name,
Jesus,
call out His name.
With me, Lord, we fall.
Lord, we fall down on our knees. We lift our hands to You and say, "You're all we need. You're all we need. You're all."
Today we're going to conclude a series of messages that we've been calling Extreme Spiritual Makeover. Today I want you to look with me to the Word of God in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. And I want to read for the last time in this series this verse of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. The Bible says these words in verse number 23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. And may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about releasing your spirit. I want to begin today by giving to you a diagram, a graphic that you're going to see, which basically represents 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23. Remember, we have talked about the body. The Bible talks about the importance of the body. Then the Bible talks about the soul. The soul. We have taught you the importance of the soul being the mind, the will, and the emotion. And today we're going to talk about your spirit. In the depths of who you are, there is a spirit. And in the depths of who you are, in that spirit, either it is dead or it is alive. And that spirit is surrounded by the soul, your mind, emotion, and will, and the external of who you are being your body. Now today what I want to do is that I want to walk you through biblically, practically, and I want to add even logically, this entire process of what we have been teaching over the last few weeks together. I want to begin by asking you a question, and this question, I'm going to ask four of them today, and I'm going to answer each one of the questions that I pose for you this morning. Question number one, what are the biggest problem areas in your life? What are they? Now, some of us would immediately say, well, it's my kids. I mean, man, my kids, they're a real problem to me. Some of us would say, well, it's you know, we don't have enough money. I've charged too much on the credit card. The bills are coming due. I'm in real trouble. Some would say, well, I've gone through and I've lost my job, or I've gone through a transition in my family. But are those really the biggest problem areas of your life? You see, when you do that and you take that approach, all of a sudden, everything becomes isolated. And there's no comparison with any of us in life. So, let's all get on the same level today. What are the four biggest problems there of your life? First of all, it's your mind. You have a problem with your mind? Everybody has a problem with our mind, because you see, if you don't control your mind, you got an issue. Because if you don't get a hold of your mind, if your mind stays in the gutter or becomes polluted or diluted by this world, then the end result of that, it can really destroy your life, it can destroy your family, it can destroy your career, it can destroy everything about you. So your mind is extremely powerful. We all share the commonality of one of our biggest problems being our mind. And the other big problem we got is our will. Oh, wow, you talk about a bunch of strong-willed people. They're sitting in this room today. You know, back when I was a child, they didn't talk about, I guess they didn't. I mean, I was a kid. How would I know? I just never heard about it. Oh, well, he's a strong-willed child. Well, you know what? I've never met one that didn't have a strong will. Because that's really the way we are in life. Because each one of us, we are degenerate. We are depraved. The scripture talks to us about it. We're not getting better. We're getting worse. And when we start taking up our rights and our desires, and all of a sudden our will rules. And when that begins to rule, what can it do? It can destroy us. I mean, that's why we say at times that the biggest problem you got, you, right? Biggest problem I got is myself. And so we have to control the will. And then the emotion. Oh, wow. The emotion is a real problem in life, is it not? I mean, it's tough. If you don't control your emotions, guess what? You're up one day, down the next. If you missed last week, you need to walk out there and you need to get a copy of the message. Because last week, God used the scripture to convict all of us in a great, great way. It was just a basic exposition of Galatians 5. So I want to urge you to understand the importance of controlling your emotion. And that's really hard in the culture in which we live. Because this culture trains you to spout off when you want to spout off, say what you want to say, live the way you want to live, operate the way you want to operate, and your circumstances should determine your attitude. Well, incorrect. That's why the biggest problems we have would be our mind, our will, and the depths of our emotion. But then what's the other big problem we got? Well, it's our body. Our body's a problem. You know why our body's a problem? Because our bodies are decaying. Hate to tell you that. Doesn't matter how much you work out. Doesn't matter how hard you work on that. You know, your body is decaying. You cannot stop that decaying issue because in reality, sin sentences you to death. Not eternal death spiritually, but death physically. Now, taking care of your body can slow down that process of decay. Taking care of yourself can halt that to some degree for a period of time in your life. It can help you get ready for the final ultimate test of your life, which is death. But I promise you, the biggest problem we have is our bodies at times. Because if we let our bodies rule our lives, what happens? We all of a sudden get ourselves in real trouble when we permit the body to rule. Because if the body rules, then what's going to happen? Well, you're going to get yourself in trouble in your marriage. You're going to get yourself in trouble physically. You're going to get yourself in trouble by various things that you choose to do in your life because the body is extremely powerful. But may I also say to you, the reason the body is so powerful is that it's inhabited by your mind, your will, and your emotion. Therefore, those things are powerful, powerful forces in your life. Let me give you an observation. An observation about all of them. Their greatest role is never to lord over you in any way, but to serve you. Your mind, will, emotion, and body should never lord over you, but they are there to serve you. Now, let's just get it straight. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's not try to kid ourselves. And let's just stop playing spiritual and religious games today here in this room or in our room at Pinnacle Hills and those of you who are watching by television. The mind typically lords over most of us. There are times our mind lords over all of us. Our will lords over us, does it not? It leads us so much of the time. Well, I just want to do it, Mama. I just want to do it. Okay. Your emotion? Oh, I'm down today. And what happens is, when you get in that mode and in that mood, what happens? Everything that goes on that day is what? It's just not right. Why is that? Because it's lording over you. And when you do not take care of the body God has given you and you do not understand that your body, according to the Holy Scripture, if you are saved, if you know Christ, it is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, right? Say right. Isn't that right? Now, we can't get away from what the Scripture teaches us. But if we let the body have all the body wants, the body will destroy itself. That's why most of the culture is dying early. Therefore, we have to be very careful. But what is the mind there for, the will there for, the emotion there for, and the body there for? What is it there for? It is there to serve you. It is there to do what needs to be done to help you become what you need to become. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 for a moment. Remember what the scripture says? It says, the God of peace himself. It's only God himself that can do what needs to be done. Would you agree? There's nothing in us that can do that. Only God himself can help take my mind, emotion, will, and body and make it what he wants it to be. And the scripture's real clear. It says only the God of peace himself can sanctify you completely. That means to what? That word sanctify means to set you apart. It means to get you over here. It means to make you holy, even as we sang about a moment ago. Therefore, that entire process is making you more Christ-like. Now, sanctification is a biblical word. It's not a church word, because most of the church doesn't preach the Bible, okay? But our church does. Therefore, it is kind of a word we use in our church. But let me say a word about sanctification. What is it? Sanctification begins at conversion and concludes at death. The moment you come to Christ, you enter into a moment of sanctification. You see, really, life for the Christian is made up of these stages: pre-Christ, in Christ, with Christ. Pre-Christ is before I met Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Once I meet him, I am in Christ. Remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And then, once I die, I am going to be with Christ, right? So sanctification begins at conversion, but it ends at death. Now, how do I get from pre-Christ to in Christ? That's called justification. That means that I'm set free from my sin, just as if I had never sinned. All right? In Christ is sanctification. With Christ is glorification. That's when I'm going to become like him. Now, all that was free, just kind of came to me by the Holy Spirit's leadership. But let me say a couple words about sanctification that takes it to a new level. You got to remember this about sanctification. It is a process. It is a process. You know what it's a process of? It's a process of becoming more like Christ. That's what it is. That's why it's so tough. Remember what Paul said? Paul said, the things I want to do, I find myself not doing. The things I don't want to do, that I want to do. All right, but I can't do. So therefore, it gets to be really challenging in life. That's called sanctification. And it's a process of me becoming more like Christ. For example, if you're dealing with something in your life, maybe it's a sin. Obviously, we all deal with sin. But let's say it's something you really want to overcome. You really know it's not a good testimony for you. You know it doesn't represent Jesus. You know it doesn't honor Jesus. And you're in that mode and you're in that process. Guess what? Sanctification is what's going to get you there. It's going to be a process. But also sanctification indicates progress, and that's good. I mean, sanctification indicates progress. Now, I don't want anybody to take this to an extreme today, but you know, there are things that would be sin to me that are not sin to you. Now, why is that? Because we are at different levels of grace. That doesn't mean I'm at the highest level. That means that some of you are at a higher level than I am of grace. That doesn't mean I don't have all the grace God wants me to have, nor you, but it means that we all grow in grace, the apostle said. Meaning there are things that I don't do in my life today that I used to do in my life. Are you following me, even though I'm at Christ? That's growing in grace. Well, that's what we call progress. Now, the goal of that is to progress me into being like Jesus. And that's what sanctification is. Sanctification is getting you ready for heaven. Are you with me? Sanctification is getting you ready to be with the Lord all the time. Therefore, it is a process and it is progress. Now, let's go to our second question today, which will not take me near as long to answer. What about the Spirit? And when I say the Spirit, I don't mean the Holy Spirit. I mean your Spirit. I want you to look with me to Ephesians chapter 2 today, and I'm going to let you get there, and then I'm going to walk you through the Spirit, your Spirit. What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you today about your Spirit. The book of Ephesians in chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talk about the importance of the Spirit. So, today, are you ready? First of all, let me tell you this about your spirit. Your spirit is dead. It is dead. Are you with me? Your spirit was born dead. Dead. You know why? Because you are sinners by your nature and sinners by your choices. Dead. Depraved. How do I know that? Well, look at what the Bible says in chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins which you previously walked according to this worldly age. Well, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. The scripture talks about you being dead. Now, what can happen to the spirit? Well, the Bible then says in Ephesians 2, even though you are dead in your trespasses and sins, you can become alive. Your spirit becomes alive. Are you with me? Dead and then alive. Prior to 1971 in October, since 1955, my spirit had been dead. I was born dead spiritually. But something happened in 1971, in October of that year, all of a sudden I became alive. Now, what happened? Well, here's what happened, and you've got to look at chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. But God, listen to this. Remember, I was dead. I was living in my flesh. I was carrying out my thoughts. But God, two of the greatest words in the whole New Testament are those two words. Amen? But God, who is abundant in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, what did he do? He made us alive. Dead and made us alive. With the Messiah, the anointed one, meaning Jesus Christ. Even though we were dead in trespasses. Here we are. We were dead, but he took us and he made us alive. And then he makes this incredible statement. By grace, you are saved. Amen. Are you following? All of a sudden, here I am. I'm living life and I'm dead. I am dead. But now, all of a sudden, because of God's great, amazing grace, all of a sudden, he takes me who was dead and he makes me alive. Even though there was no hope for me, but God, who is rich in mercy, brought me to life. Now, has that ever happened to you? Many of you today, you may be religious, but you can be dead spiritually. You may be a part of a church, but be dead spiritually. I say to you today, if you are dead spiritually, you have never been walking, raised to walk in this new life, quickened and made alive by the Spirit of God. Listen, it is by grace that that happens. It's not by doing anything other than that. It is by the grace of God, and it's grace that wakes you up from your state or your status of death. So your spirit is what? Dead, but then alive. And then at conversion, what happens is that you become one. One with the Spirit of God. Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Listen to this verse. Chapter 12, verse 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, into one body. When did that happen? That happened at conversion. Whether Jews or Greeks, in other words, it doesn't matter. Whether slaves or free, doesn't matter. We were all made to drink, all of us. We were all made to drink of one spirit. What spirit is that? The Spirit of God. Therefore, what happens? Here it is. I was dead. All of a sudden, God raised me to be alive. And the moment of conversion, I became one with Him. His Spirit joined my spirit. He made me alive. Let me say it this way. If you want to know where you're always right with God, if you're saved, it's in the depths of your spirit. You're always right with God. Because your spirit is in total, complete oneness with God. Your spirit is alive. Now, your spirit can be strengthened, but your spirit is alive. Thank God for that. And the moment I came to Christ, you know when I became a part of the church? I became a part of the church the moment I received Jesus Christ on a Saturday night youth fellowship. I hadn't walked an aisle, but I became a part of His church, ultimately, because the Spirit of God baptized me into the family of God. But the next morning, I walked down the aisle of a local church, and I told them that Christ had come into my life. He had awakened me. He had forgiven me of my sins. And then I followed in believer's baptism to indicate a spiritual baptism that took place the night before when He made me one in Christ. Therefore, let me say these brief remarks about this. The spirit baptism, when does that happen? It happens at salvation. Some people would say, well, you know, you could baptize by the Holy Spirit later on. Well, I'm telling you, I don't know where you get that scripturally. The bottom line is, once the Holy Spirit comes into you, He indwells you. He baptizes you into the family of God, or else you've never been baptized by Him and you really don't belong to Him. The Spirit also immediately places you into the family of God. And then, according to the Bible, the Spirit comes to live within you for life. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's with you in the good times, the bad times, the so not so good times. He's with you always, all the time. He's there with you. Now notice this next element of the Spirit, and that is the Spirit can be strengthened. Your spirit can be strengthened. If you'll go back to Ephesians, we're going to look at chapter 3 of Ephesians. And in chapter 3 of Ephesians, I want you to look at verse 16. We talk about John 3:16. About how God so loved the world. Let me tell you about Ephesians 3:16. I pray that He may grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the what? Inner man. Paul introduces a term here, the inner man. The inner man. You know what the inner man is? That's where your spirit is. The inner man is your spirit, and therefore you are having the capacity to be strengthened in the inner man. Even though you are one with Christ from the baptism of the Holy Spirit forward, even though at conversion you are one with Him and you move toward ultimate sanctification and glorification and death. What we see here is that the Spirit's power is limitless. The Holy Spirit wakes up your spirit, and the Holy Spirit has the power to strengthen your spirit. You know what else the Spirit of God can do? He can energize your inner man. He can energize you. You know what else the Spirit of God can do? He can strengthen your inner man. Oh, listen. Listen to what I'm going to tell you here. The body can decay. Are you with me? The soul can wander. But the spirit can be strengthened. The body will decay. The soul can wander. The mind, the will, and the emotion. It can wander. But the inner man, the spirit, can be strengthened. Nothing will kill your drive for God than a mind, will, and emotion out of control. Nothing can. That's why the inner man has to be strengthened. Many of you have gone through days in your life before of prayer and fasting. You know one of the great advantages of prayer and fasting? Prayer and fasting kind of wakes your spirit up. It makes your spirit more sensitive than ever before. And what it does is it commands your mind, your will, your emotion, and your body to come under the lordship of the Spirit of God in your life. That's the power that happens through fasting and prayer. But Paul didn't mention that your spirit can be strengthened by prayer and fasting alone in Ephesians 3. He just tells us that it can be strengthened. Therefore, we need to let the Spirit of God strengthen us in our lives. Now, that leads me to a third question that won't take me near as long to answer as question one and question two. And I promise you that this time. How does this occur? How does this occur? Let me just answer this, and I'm not going to have anything on here beyond what you're seeing presently, but I want to give you three things, three ways this can occur. And they all go together. They're a cluster. Abiding in the Word of God. That's how your spirit becomes strengthened. That's how your spirit is renewed. Remember what Paul said? The renewing of your mind. Romans 12. Well, the renewing of your mind comes because your inner spirit is strengthened. And your inner spirit calls into order your mind. Now, how do you get that inner spirit strengthened? Abiding in the Word of God. Jesus talked about that in John 15, did he not? Yes, he did. He talked about the importance of that. He calls it abiding in the vine. So Jesus wants us to abide in him. So abiding in the Word of God. You know another way that's a part of that scenario? Communing with the Son of God. So not only are you abiding in the Word of God, but you are communing with the Son of God. Therefore, in the process of it, it's not only the Word of God, but it's prayer. It's not only reading the Word and listening to what God is saying to me, but I'm saying something back to God. And that's why the Word is so important, because the Word alters your prayer life. It teaches you how to pray, what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. So I'm abiding in the Word of God. I'm communing with the Son of God. And then I'm surrendering to the Spirit of God. And that's a part of this element here of trying to be strengthened in my spirit. I'm telling you, man, if you don't spend any time in the Word, you're going to lose the battle with your mind, your will, and your emotion, and your body. They will dominate you. But once you come to Christ, if you will abide in the Word and commune with the Son of God, and you will let yourself be surrendered to the Spirit of God, there is hope for you. You can win in this world. And you can survive the battle of life. That leads me to my fourth question. Question number four, what is the goal? I mean, what is the goal of all of this? I'm so glad you asked, because if we don't understand the ultimate goal, then we're in real trouble. So today what I'm going to do is that I'm going to show you another graphic. But before I show you that graphic, I want to make a statement to you. And here's the statement I want you to get today in your heart, and even if you are taking notes today. The Holy Spirit is to be released through our lives continuously. That's the goal. That's the goal. If you want to know what the goal is, that's the way you really begin to have this spiritual makeover in your life. Because it comes from the inside out, and the Holy Spirit begins to be released through your life continually. Remember, dead and then alive, nourished, strengthened, released. We got to get released. So let me show you another way to see this today. Notice this graphic on the screen. Let's take it apart. Now, I know it looks rather hazardous, but I want you to get it in your mind and your heart. I could have built it for you, but I really wanted to show it to you all at once. Let's talk about that body. What is that body doing? What am I saying? What have I told you? Say that word out loud. What is it doing? It is decaying. That's hard to admit, isn't it? Wow, it really is. And then there's the soul. What is the soul comprised of? Say it with me again. Mind. That's right. The mind, the will, and the emotion. Y'all read really well. Now let's talk about the spirit. We've talked about this spirit today. And what is about that spirit? It is what? It is, said out loud, it is dead and then alive. It becomes one and then it can be strengthened. Now, let me make it real clear today. There are many of us here today. We are either dead or alive. That's what we are. There are many of us today, we're alive. But if we're not alive, we're dead. And today, those of you that are dead need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to be forgiven of your sins. You need to acknowledge Jesus as the only way to salvation. And you need to receive him into your life today. And the moment that happens, all of a sudden, death becomes life. Right. And the moment life occurs, what happens? You become one and you begin that journey of being strengthened, or that can also be recorded, that big word, that biblical word, what is it? Starts with an S. Sanctification. That's right. Which is what? It's a process. And what else is it? It's progress. And when does that sanctification start? It starts at when? Conversion. Come on now. When does it start? And when does it end? That's right. And then the moment you become justified, then you're sanctified, then what's that end result when you get to heaven? What is that? Glorified. That's right. Amen. Now, then you got this issue. It appears to me you got four big issues in your life, four enemies to your spirit. You know what those enemies are? Your mind, your will, your emotion, and your body. So in the depths of who I am, is my spirit. My spirit is one with God. The Holy Spirit is in me. And as I nourish him, and I nourish that walk, and I abide in the Word, I commune with the Lord Jesus, and I am filled with the Holy Spirit, surrendering to his power, all of a sudden, what happens? In the depths of who I am, put that graphic back up, all right? Thank you. We're going to see it released through your life. Are you with me? It is going to take off like a jet. It's going to take off. It's going to soar you into your life, into levels of spirituality you have never experienced before in your life. All because you have been willing to see your spirit released by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my friend, that's exactly the will of God for you and for me. If you want to know, well, you know, I can't overcome this in my life. I'm really struggling right now. You know why? I'll tell you why. You say, Ronnie, I know the Lord. I know the Lord, but I'm still struggling. Why is that? Because you're not strengthening. You're not strengthening the inner man. The inner man is losing the battle. So when the inner man loses the battle, who wins? Your mind, your will, your emotion, and your body. Right? Right. But what needs to happen? What needs to happen is that spirit needs to become like a volcano, some kind of geyser, something that just explodes through you, or if you may. I mean, it just comes out of you. And when it does that, it controls the environment around it. It changes the environment. And you know what changes the environment? The Spirit of God is the only thing that can ever change the environment of your mind, your will, your emotion, and your body. Period. Only he can. Because until that happens, you will not win. Now you can take the graphic off. Now, did something begin to click with you when you saw that? I sure hope it did, because see, that we identified all your problems today. You say, well, you didn't have mine up there, and it wasn't long enough. Oh, they're up there. It's up there, trust me. It's there. Therefore, today, what do we do? As your spirit is empowered and strengthened by the Holy Spirit, he is released through your mind, your will, your emotion, and your body. And you know what happens? That is a progressing fulfillment of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Remember what he said? Sanctify. Process, progress. So that you will be sound when you come to Jesus. Sound, balanced, in order, under control, representative of Jesus everywhere you go. Christ's likeness. And blameless. Blameless with the coming of the Lord Jesus. No one can point at you and say, hey, he doesn't deserve to go. You must have not saw him where I saw him doing what he was doing. Oh no, it's not about that. Because as you become sanctified, all of a sudden everything personifies you belong to Jesus. Now, sadly, this past week, we buried one of our great members. His coffin was right here. It had his body in that coffin. It was Chris Emmer's father. Denny Hyde lost her father. That memorial service was this past Monday. He was a pastor of a great church in Amarillo, Texas, a Paramount church in Amarillo. He was 85. Pastored there most of his life. And then, obviously, the Lord called him into retirement, and now he's been promoted to heaven with Jesus. Now, you listen to me. Two great men, Fred and Shad. Tomorrow afternoon, I will help in another funeral of another great member, a former pastor, a great man who loved this church, was committed to this church for years. His name was Gene Webb. Gene went to see Jesus yesterday morning early. Now you follow me. There was a time in those men's lives when their spirit was dead. And then there was a moment in their lives when Jesus woke up their spirit and changed their lives by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the dead became alive. And the moment that life happened, they became one in the body of Christ. And they began the journey of having their inner man strengthened on a daily basis. Now, what happened when they died? I'll tell you what happened. God took them in their spirit, took them straight into heaven the moment they died. They will know him. And they will be like him. One day, the very cemeteries in which each one of their bodies have been and will be buried, God will show up. Jesus will come in the clouds, the scripture says. And those who have died in Christ, they will be raised from the dead. Their body will. The body that is not able to walk on its own will now be able to walk again, glorified by God himself and united with their spirit, which is already with the Lord. Let me ask you today. If death would happen to you, would any of that happen to your life? Oh, listen today. If you have never acknowledged publicly and unashamedly that you're a sinner, that Jesus is the Savior of the world, including your Savior, you will perish and your body will perish in a place called hell forever and ever. But my friend, if you will acknowledge Jesus as Savior and Lord, He will raise you up from the dead one day, and you will be joined forever with the Lord, because your body's already with Him now, or your spirit's already with Him then. And all that's possible because of that second chapter in Ephesians. But God, who is rich in mercy. Aren't you glad He's merciful?